Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Former President Trump was arraigned today inside the New York County Criminal Court in Lower Manhattan. And like anyone else, Trump is presumed innocent until he outright confesses on Truth Social.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. But first, a closer look.
Well, here's a sentence I never thought I'd say. Donald Trump was arrested and appeared in Manhattan criminal court to be arraigned on a total of 34 felony charges. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Well, it happened. Trump surrendered himself to authorities today and was arraigned at the Manhattan Criminal Court on charges stemming from his hush money payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels during the 2016 campaign. That's him in court. Look at his face. This is the first time in his life anything's ever dawned on him. The day began with tense scenes in Lower Manhattan as throngs of Trump supporters numbering the tens or perhaps even the 12s showed up to sort of just mill around, I guess. Support the former indicted president, where they were outnumbered by both reporters and pigeons. Outside, agitator Marjorie Taylor Greene showed up at a nearby park to scream and shout like a lunatic, something only a tourist from Georgia would think gets her attention in New York City. New York Congressman George Santos also showed up, where he claimed he was the one who had sex with Stormy Daniels. Then came Trump Watch. The media had cameras trained on him all day, like a panda cam at a zoo hoping to catch a panda having sex and then illegally funneling a hush money payment to the panda they had sex with. The cameras even followed Trump's car as it drove on the FDR Highway, a parkway so slow and irritating that if they really wanted to name it after a president, they should name it after Donald J. Trump. And then came the moment when Trump appeared at the courthouse and history was made. Even Trump himself seemed shocked.
Just minutes ago, a where were you when moment. Donald Trump, now technically under arrest. A former candidate who ran for president amidst crowds yelling for the locking up of his then Democratic opponent, Hillary Clinton, has been arrested himself.
He says heading to Lower Manhattan, the courthouse seems so surreal in all caps. Wow, they are going to arrest me. The former president writes, can't believe this is happening in America. MAGA.
Trump commented on his own arrest, a watershed moment in American history, the way your grandpa posts on Facebook about his trip to Italy. Wow, seems so surreal. Can't believe the pizza is better at home. Your grandmother says hello. It's worth stepping back and appreciating just how crazy this was. Today we witnessed the surreal spectacle of one of the world's most notorious figures, a former president and current candidate, facing arrest and arraignment in the media capital of the world. And let's not forget how funny current candidate is in all this. He got arrested and he's still running for president. This is like Pennywise doing kids' birthday parties after it came out. Even before today, the media speculation was so intense. Cameras followed his plane's every movement from takeoff in Palm Beach to landing at LaGuardia. Man, look at that. The media was tracking him like he's their Grubhub order. Folks, we're hearing now that Donald is 8 minutes away with our burrito. I didn't think there was a fate worse than prison, but then they made him land at LaGuardia. So where are we touching down? Teterboro, White Plains? LaGuardia, sir. LaGuardia? I'm not on trial for murder. It's worse than that, sir. Spit it out. We're landing at the Marine Terminal. Also, side note, LaGuardia is nice now. They did a great job with the renovation. Unfortunately, it's just going to take us a few years to stop making LaGuardia jokes. So, LaGuardia, we just asked for your patience in the same way you asked for ours during what seemed like, I don't know, 100 years of construction. The point is, LaGuardia is proof that even the worst parts of New York can change. Donald. Now, nice or not, LaGuardia is still a very funny arrival airport for a former president. Did he also have to wait for his luggage at the carousel? I would assume an oversized gold-plated roller. We got your bag, sir. Double-check the tag. It's definitely yours, sir. Check the tag! They made an announcement. A lot of these bags look the same. I'm gonna follow the rules now, okay? That's the new Donald. Also, I want to make it clear, it's not that I'm, like, thrilled that a former president has been indicted. I'm not. But I am thrilled that it's opened a door to do topical jokes about Donald Trump flying in LaGuardia. I mean, was there a driver waiting for him there with his name misspelled on a placard? It's one thing to track Trump as he landed in New York yesterday, as he was ushered downtown for his arraignment this afternoon. But why did they watch his plane take off like it was an Apollo moon mission, did they? Think there was a chance he was gonna rush the cockpit, grab the controls, and make a hard right turn towards Saudi Arabia? We have breaking news. Trump has commandeered the plane, and it is now upside down. In fact, cable news even went so far as to show us Trump's luggage coming off the plane on a conveyor belt Monday.
The luggage is starting to come out from the bottom. So my guess is that they don't want to get off the plane until the luggage is in the cars. That way they can just come down the stairs and then be ready to go.
Or Trump is trying to smuggle himself out inside one of those suitcases. That's why when the luggage came down the carousel, it kept making these weird noises.
Ouch.
It's also the first time I saw it, you guys, and I'm... Now, when we were at first speculating about this case, I think most people imagine it would be one or two charges of maybe falsifying business records or campaign finance violations. It was then reported that Trump would face 34 counts, but even that was unclear because that could mean, say, one felony and 33 misdemeanors, which might actually come off as a fairly weak case. But we found out today that the charges were way more serious than that.
NBC News is now reporting that inside that courtroom, Donald Trump pleaded not guilty to 34 counts of falsifying records.
Our team, Aaron Katursky, John Santucci, Catherine Falders, all joining in reporting at this hour that the indictment is 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. We don't know if that is all of them, but at least 34 felony counts of falsifying business records.
Not just 34 charges, 34 felonies. Holy In order to raise the $130,000 he used to pay off Stormy Daniels, did he also rob a bank in a Halloween mask? Of course, knowing Trump, he'd wear a mask of his own face. Although his actual face already looks like a Halloween mask. If you rip that thing off, you'd probably find Patrick Swayze from Point Break under there. It must have been a bummer for Trump's team to find out that there were 34 felony charges because as recently as last night, his lawyer, a guy named Joe Tacopina, was boldly predicting on Fox News that the case would go away quickly.
If it gets to a jury, you know, what I would do, what our team would do, what Todd and Susan would do, is simply look, you know, the jurors in the eyes and say, this is, you understand, you're not voting for a political office here. This is not a presidential campaign or a gubernatorial campaign. This is someone's life and liberty. This should be the quickest verdict in the history of the United States of America.
First of all, life and liberty also sound like porn stars he paid hush money to. Stormy introduced me to Liberty, who introduced me to Chastity, and next thing you know, bing, bang, boom, 34 felonies. Also, I almost feel bad for Rudy Giuliani having to watch this guy. That used to be Rudy's job. Yeah, he's pretty good, I guess, if you like tall and handsome. You know, I used to be tall, but then my limo hit a pothole and my neck fell down inside my chest. It was on the DJT. We saw something historic today, and in many ways, it was healthy to see business unfolding as normal in New York, because this is how a healthy democracy and criminal justice system should be functioning. Donald Trump will be presumed innocent, as all criminal defendants are, and the prosecution will have to prove that Trump paid off Stormy as well as...
life and liberty.
This has been A Closer Look.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. But there's an easier way. When you download Thumbtack, it's easier to care for your home from top to bottom. Pull out your phone and in just a few steps, you can search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. So say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Tonight represents New York's 14th Congressional District in the House of Representatives. Please welcome back to the show Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Well, it is so lovely to have you here.
Lovely to be here. Thank
and
you.
It seems like we planned this, but this has been scheduled for a long time. No one could have imagined a couple months ago what happened today. How does this feel? How are you processing it as a New Yorker?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's as an American, as a New Yorker. As a New Yorker, it was a very New York kind of day. You have not just what was happening with former President Trump, but then you have MTG flying into town. You've got, you know, just the whole chaos of the scene and also all the people walking by like, okay, I'm on my lunch break. Time to go. Yeah. It was just a lot. It was a circus, right?
Your whole life, this is a person who, especially in New York, has been, you know, investigated, never charged, certainly accusations of financial improprieties. Did you ever think this day would come where he would be arraigned, especially for things like, you know, the misuse of money?
Yeah. I mean, I think I had always felt that something might happen. Honestly, I think if something did, I would have thought it would be something like this around falsification of business documents or some sort of charge that has to do with documentation or finances. But I mean, my dad was an architect. He worked in construction and in that industry. And from the time I was a kid, it's like no one knew this guy better than New Yorkers. And just like this is just, people would have thought this is what he would have been in for before he was president.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it does feel like a matter of course. I also think that, I mean, listen, this is not about guaranteeing one outcome or another. This is about due process. And the lack of process, of a formal due process for so long, really created this question of do we really have an equal society? No matter your income, no matter how powerful you are. And I think the presence of this process demonstrates that we should have one law that applies to all people, no matter who you are or where you come from.
A very true statement. And also, look, this is the process. He's innocent until proven guilty. And you were talking a little backstage about how there is oftentimes a hesitation, both in legal circles and in politics, not to move forward unless you're certain of the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think I do. I see this in a legislative context. Sometimes you see this in a legal context, which is we don't want to try unless we know what the outcome is before we start, right? We don't want to hold a vote on something unless we know for sure that it's going to pass. We know that, you know, the question, there's been so much legal speculation over the last week. Is this a good idea? Is it not a good idea? If there is evidence for a crime, which is what Alvin Bragg has asserted and put before a grand jury and before a jury of one's peers, they themselves move forward with an indictment, then this is the process that must happen in our society. And then once again, there will be another jury of their peers to convict or acquit. But we should not make these decisions solely on whether you know that you're guaranteed to be successful from the start. I think people need to see these charges or see just charges where there is evidence for it. And I believe that, you know, the presence of that due process is what makes our system fair. It's a consequence in and of itself. And I think it's important.
You mentioned Alvin Bragg. Three GOP House chairs basically wrote to him demanding that he come and testify, that he bring documents from this investigation. It seems like the office hit back pretty strongly to that. How do you feel about sort of the members of Congress reaching out and trying to, interfere in an investigation
like
this?
Yeah, I mean, I think what they've attempted to do, whether it's Jim Jordan or Chairman Comer in House Oversight, where I sit, there needs to be clear jurisdiction. And what we have seen from House Republicans, especially, is that they seem to have interpreted their role as just defending and working for Donald Trump, sometimes more than working for the kinds of people that they've been elected to serve. You know, we're seeing more energy for defending former President Trump than for passing gun safety legislation, from helping healthcare, from people in, from what happened in the spill. I think what we need to see is an actual government that works for people, no matter what party you're a part of, instead of which partisan person you're most loyal to.
I think that's, they should also know. When you work for Donald Trump, you often don't get paid, and that's something they should keep in mind.
Yeah.
You questioned Michael Cohen. Mm-hmm. This is a few years back. This is your first year. You were a freshman congresswoman. And you talked to him about the inflation of assets. This was a different thing that Donald Trump did for years. He would, if he was counting as an asset, he would say it was worth this much, and if he was paying taxes on it, he would lower it. Mm-hmm. And this actually led, Tish James has mentioned you, and mentioned that questioning as leading to a separate, civil case against Donald Trump. It's so interesting because I feel like a lot of times you watch people grandstand in moments where they get to question someone. You laid out it very simple, in a way that people like even I could understand. Do you feel like people in Congress miss the opportunity to take their time and lay something out very clearly for the American people to understand?
Yeah, I actually recently, so my first year, I also held this kind of Twitter seminar for some of my colleagues. And this year I worked with some of my other colleagues, including folks like Maxine Waters and Madeleine Dean, on also kind of teaching folks how to use your 5 minutes most effectively. I think, when we talk about what your member of Congress does, it's not just legislate. Our job is to investigate. And that is a core element of our duties, to pursue that. And so I do think, it takes a lot of preparation. It's kind of like what Mark Twain said, this letter would be shorter, but I didn't have time. That brevity takes an enormous amount of preparation. I kind of look like that scene from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia with a guy like this.
All the yarn.
That's what my desk looks like during a hearing sometimes. You have to work with what's happening in midstream. But I think it's very powerful. It's really important. And our job is to educate and communicate to the public in addition to legislating.
I want to talk about other legislation you're working on. Before we go to commercial, Trump was supposedly stuck on FDR after the arraignment today. Is that the most perfect New York punishment?
I have to take issue because I represent LaGuardia Airport.
I told you it's nice.
Okay?
I told you it's nice.
We put a lot of work into that.
I'm telling you, it is great. I'm a huge fan of LaGuardia now. It's just hard for us as comedy writers. You took some. This would be like the Mets won the World Series.
I know.
What would we do?
I know. What would we joke about? What I will say is that I do think it was an omen that he landed in my congressional district.
Yeah, I think that.
Shalom.
There you go. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Late Night. We're here with Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez. So I feel like for 2 years we talked about who's going to win the House. Mm-hmm. And then for weeks we covered who's going to be the Speaker. Mm-hmm. And then since Kevin McCarthy got the gavel, nothing. I feel like we barely hear anything. For someone who's up close to it, what do you feel the GOP is trying to do with this power?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're absolutely right. I believe this is the least productive first 3 months under almost any speaker, potentially in the history of the United States, if not in modern political history. And I think it's because, they talked a lot about winning, but they didn't really plan for what they wanted to do. So they're kind of sitting around and they're looking at state legislatures and they're like, maybe we can ban books. And We say, no, you should not do that. And I think they're, you know, I'm so grateful that we have a Democratic Senate and that folks turned out and elected so many incredible members of the Senate to be a kind of a stop on that. But I just think they don't really know. And I also think Kevin McCarthy promised so many people so many different things that he cannot possibly govern with all these pre-commitments that he's made.
A way to, I guess, seem like you're doing something while also not governing is to complain about wokeism and how it affects everything from bank collapses to the way our military is being run. Is that, are you in actual, you know, meetings and committee hearings where that is the sort of topic du jour?
Oh, yeah. House Republicans held an entire hearing on wokeism in the federal government and federal employment policies. And so I'm looking at it, I'm like, what is so woke that has them so outraged? And I look through this list and I'm like, oh, paying members of the Forest Service more than a Walmart greeter, using remote work for people with disabilities and people who live in rural areas, you know, healthcare at like the It's just a catch-all term that they use for anything that they don't like.
And I guess one of the problems is when they actually get to legislating on things like that, even their constituents wouldn't want to lose things like healthcare, especially when they realize wokeism has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I think that's why they have to call it wokeism, because if they actually told their constituents, hey, we don't want the Forest Service folks to get paid well, people would be like, why do you want to do that? And
yeah.
So I think they have to brand it as all this stuff. And I mean, they'll say it often. I was on the floor of a debate around some of their work in trying to ban books, and they call it parental rights, but they try to package this and use misdirection to say, we want parents to be more involved and have more of a say in their school. Well, if you want that, maybe let's create a society where parents aren't working two jobs so that they can be more involved with their kids in school. Instead of trying to tell people that trans kids should not have a safe place to get an education or tell their parents what to do. I mean, I think it speaks to the fact that despite no matter what happens with Donald Trump, Trumpism is still alive. And we've seen it recently. There was just a vote in the Tennessee state legislature to expel three Democratic representatives in their legislature because they had the audacity to stand up and protest for gun safety legislation because the state of Tennessee was not acting enough. And so instead of having vigorous debate, the folks who accuse people of silencing are the ones who are silencing and expelling. The folks who are accusing people of intimidation, like Marjorie Taylor Greene today, you know, we have New York City public advocate Jumaane Williams was blowing a whistle while she was talking. I mean, we all have our First Amendment right?
Yeah.
She goes around calling this intimidation. And it's so often this politics of projection in order to get you to become defensive about what this person, defensive towards yourself, about what the other person is actually doing. And we just need to move out of that space, because I think what most people just want is for us to actually accomplish something as a government that helps working people.
You have also, or I should say, the GOP has also promised to get to the bottom of the Biden crime family.
Mm-hmm.
Their term, not mine.
Yeah.
It does not seem as though, you know, again, as you said, 3 months, no breaking news.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've tried, you know, they had that big Twitter Hunter Biden hearing and they're like, we got him. And then the thing about hearings is that they're not Republican press conferences. You have 50 Democrats that are also, or however many Democrats in a committee that are also seated on that. And they can real time fact check you, unlike Fox News as a safe space for them. You know, you can get fact checked in real time. You will be debated in real time. And they have operated in this insular environment that affirms them, no matter how true or false anything they say is, that now that they're actually in a House majority and they have to actually call hearings and they actually have to legislate and they actually have to be called on things when they're not true, they're like, wait, this doesn't feel like Tucker Carlson to me. It's like, no, baby, this is the U.S. House of Representatives.
There you go. Well, if there's any lesson they take away from that, I hope it's it. Hey, what a pleasure to have you back here. It's always to have a New Yorker here, especially one from the beautiful LaGuardia.
Beautiful.
I mean, the most beautiful airport in the whole
world. Look at the fountain when you go.
Look at the fountain.
Book your
gorgeous
next flight.
It's worth flying from Europe just to land at JFK, drive to LaGuardia.
There
look at it, drive back to JFK, go
what
back to
what I will
Europe
say, though, is Moynihan Train Hall. Let's put another one for public transit over there. The new train hall, Amtrak.
Moynihan Train Hall is great. This is very exciting. You know, things have really turned around since you got here. You guys, give it up for Congresswoman Alexandria.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars' Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.